Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's good to be home in one sense of the word. Good to see each and every one of you here. My brother Kent called me about a month ago and wanted to know if I would fill in for him today. And I had preached at Rondo about 3 weeks before. And I told my wife and people, if I had been in the pews that morning, I think I would have got up and walked out. I never preached such a message in my life. And I hope and pray that God will use me this morning, that you will hear not my word, but God's word. And that's my prayer, my desire. I'm not here for any glorification on myself. I'm here to glorify my wonderful Lord and Savior. And if we would just stop, and I hope and pray that you have, stop and just look at the blessings that we are blessed with, brothers and sisters. Even in the situations that we are in today, we have so much to be thankful for. We have such a wonderful, wonderful, loving Savior that loves us. Matter of fact, you can't love any more than he did. He gave his life that you and I could have eternal life. He was the perfect sacrifice. Perfection is definitely not one of my characteristics, but it was his. He was perfect in every way, and because of that, he could die for our sins. He was a perfect sacrifice. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I think it's good that we be reminded, Lord, that our Lord is so wonderful and so precious, and we just need to be living for him every minute of every day. So my prayer and my desire is this morning that we can just look at our lives truthfully from his word. And if we will, and really look at us, and, you know, brothers and sisters, we have a lot of improvement that we can do to bring glory and honor to him. And that's my prayer and that's my desire here this morning, is to not to share Jack Sawyer's word, but to share the word of our wonderful Lord and Savior. And if you have your Bible, you might turn over to Luke chapter 15, a very message that I'm sure you have heard time and time again. I'm sure you have read this and studied it, and I thank the Lord that it is here for us, because the more that I look at it, the greater our Savior becomes to us. And that's my prayer. Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11, very familiar song or words of Scripture, and going down into verse 24 as well. It is the prodigal son. And very familiar verses of Scripture. And it says, and he said, a certain man, this is Jesus talking a story to the Pharisees mainly, because of the way that they were living, the things that they were doing. And he uses this for them to look at their lives. And I hope and pray this morning that that's what we will do. That we will look at our lives, not from the ways of the world, but from the ways of our wonderful Lord and Savior. And brothers and sisters, if we will sincerely do that, you know, there's a message in here. There's a message here for us that should just bring joy and peace into our hearts because of what he has already done for us. So starting in verse 11, and it said, and he said, Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he, the citizen, sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have been faint and have filled his belly with the husk of the swine that the swine did eat. and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hard servants of my father's have bread and enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hard servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fattest calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Dear Heavenly Father, once again, as we gather here in your presence today, Lord, we just ask that you would help us, Lord, to look at our lives according to you and your wonderful ways. And help us, dear Heavenly Father, that we can realize how great and how much you love us, that you would give your sinless life on Calvary's cross, that we could have everlasting life. Lord, we just want to thank you, and we thank you for each and every one that has come here this morning. And Lord, if there would be one here this morning that knows you not as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, we just pray that your will and your way would be done in their lives, as well as we that know you, Lord, that we would listen to your word and apply it to our lives, Lord. We just thank you, we praise you, and Lord, we sincerely love you and ask that you would just continue to guide us and draw us closer to you. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, to just have a love for you that we just want to turn our lives over to you completely, because you're all-knowing, you're all-power, and you never leave us. As your children, you're right here with us this morning. And we can never ask for anything better than to have you as our wonderful Lord and Savior that loves us and gave your life for us, Lord. And we just want to thank you and praise you, for it's in learning your wonderful name that we do pray. Amen. This morning, as we look at these verses of Scripture, I have sort of titled, if you can put a title on a message, and I have titled this, When Your Plans Turn to Ashes. And I'll try to explain that in just a little bit. God's will is always, brothers and sisters, if we will be truthful with ourselves, you know, God's will is always the best for us. When we put our life into His hands and look to Him and seek His will and His way for our lives, that's when we find the peace and the joy that He wants you and I to have. We're His children. You know, and he loves us, and he wants us, as we walk this pathway of life, even right now, he wants us to have peace and joy into our hearts, and we can only have that when we let him have our lives and lead us in every way. Hopefully, we know that God's will and God's way is best for us, and obeying him will bring the only lasting peace and joy that you and I can really have. Unfortunately, as I look at my life, and I think that as you would be honest and look at your life as well, sometimes, you know, we have doubt that God's way is better than ours, and so we want to leave what we call the narrow path, the straight and way, you know, and pursue our desires. I don't know about you, but that is always when I get into trouble, when I seek my will and my way for my life. That's not the right way, and I know it. You know, you'll have to pardon me. These false teeth, sometimes they get dry, and they want to fall out, you know. Quite a bit. Excuse me. quite a bit has changed since I came here in 1978 as your pastor. You know, I'm a lot more false then, and I mean now than I was then. But anyway, you just have to bear with me. The Lord, He has provided for us, you know. But anyway, ignoring the Holy Spirit and rebelling or rejecting Scripture, the principles of it, the ways of it, and we start rebelling against our Heavenly Father, and brothers and sisters, you and I know, and I know, that it always brings a disappointment. If we would just be honest, when we start, you know, disobeying the ways of the Lord and not following His ways, we have problems. We have troubles and we have trials, and we can overcome them when we go back to Him. So whatever we acquire or obtain outside of God's will eventually turns to ashes. Now let me explain where I came up with this ashes. I looked up the word ashes in the Strong's Concordance, and that word is used 43 times in God's Word. There in the Bible, and any word that would be used that much, you know, it is important that we need to look at it and realize what it's really saying to us. In Webster's World Dictionary, you know, it defines ashes as the ruins or remains of anything destroyed. The unburned particles left after a thing that has been burned. So in the spiritual definition, we find that it refers to grief, repentance, and humiliation. I know that you will have to agree when you look at your life and you realize those times that you've done things that's not been right and pleasing in the Word of God, you know, we suffer from it. And we should, because we're His children, and we have what we need right here. You know, my wife reads all the time, and I'm thankful that she does. I don't read enough, but right here, people, this is a book that we need to be reading. This is what's wrong with the world today, that we have not taken God's Word and read and studied it as we should, and because of that, I believe that is the main reason that we are in the spiritual and moral condition that we are in America today and the whole world. It's because we are not following, we're not studying, we're not applying God's Word to our life. And when we do that, we're headed for disappointments. We're headed for some heartaches. And I believe unless something changes, I believe that is where America is headed. We're headed to, I mean, we as Christians, when you know in your heart right here that you know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, you know, and He's coming back. And we should be looking forward to that day when He comes back. But brothers and sisters, we need to be knowing how the Word of God, that we can share it with others, just like, you know, that we are commanded to do in God's Word. We are to, and I think that is one of the problems in America today. We Christians are not sharing and telling people about Jesus Christ. And because of that, you know, our children, they don't know because we haven't encouraged them. We haven't told them, and we haven't let them realize what a wonderful, wonderful Savior they need to be living for in their lifestyle today. And because of that, we're in problems, you know. The parable of the prodigal son, you know, I'll tell you, you know, I say this over and over, and it's true. The only reason I ever graduated from Wheatland High School is because of Zangray Western books and playing basketball. You know, that's what I went to school for, and I didn't go to get knowledgeable like I should have, and I wish I had now. But anyway, I'm not too knowledgeable on the meaning of words, but did you ever look up the word parable? What the word parable is, you know, the prodigal rather, instead of parable, the prodigal son. Prodigal means reckless. It means wasteful. And I think if you'll be truthful with yourself right here this morning, even after you have become a child of God, you have been reckless with God's Word and God's ways. You have been wasteful in so many things that God has provided for you. People, we're a prodigal children of God. And when we look at this verse of scripture, there is so much in here, you know, that helps us to realize the truth. This young man, you know, he used his earthly inheritance, we find here, to fulfill selfish desires. Have you ever been obedient or disobedient to God because of what you wanted to do? That was being reckless. That was being wasteful spiritually. And because of that, we are prodigal children. You know, prodigal is this young man was himself. So God allows us, you know, He allows you and I to acquire things outside of His will. Not that He wants to or desire to, but He allows us to do that for a while. So as we look at that, you know, the parable, you know, we find here the father let his son have his inheritance. It seems that this young man was sort of from the, you know, back earlier, he was planning a lifestyle of immoral and reckless lifestyle because he was wanting to have his inheritance and go out into the world, and we find that he did. And because of that, he got into a rather terrible situation. Matter of fact, he was about to starve to death. To a Jew, and back in those days, a pig was unclean, a hog was unclean. And then they definitely didn't, Jewish people didn't have anything to do with hogs. But he, this his friend that he met, after they had spent all of his inheritance, they went and he went to this farm, and that's what he was doing. He was taking care of pigs. You know the story. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But I just want us to emphasize this morning and look at our lives from the Word of God and realize, you know, that this young man didn't do anything that probably you and I haven't done since we come to know Jesus Christ in our life. He was not perfect by any means, but I only know of one perfect one. Do you? That was Jesus Christ. So we've all gone through some problems as well. You know, some hold true today that the Lord, you know, He gave us our freedom and we make unwise decisions. I still do today. I'm 82 years old and I still make, you know, decisions that's not right and pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. But, you know, praise the Lord. He's a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And when I do those things, the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, lets me know immediately. And I'm sure He does you as well. Now, we don't always repent of it and turn back and do what we do. I have to stay in that maybe wrongful situation until I realize as things start happening. Disappointments begin to arise in my life, and I have to realize that. And then I will repent and ask the Lord to forgive me. And He does when I truly, you know, when you repent, you turn away from what you were doing. And then you don't turn back to it. As you turn back to it, you know, you haven't really repented, you know. So we just need to realize if, you know, God lets us have our ways sometimes because that way I think that's when we are to grow. When we realize and we get into these valleys, so to speak, we don't have that peace. We don't have that joy that God wants us to have. And then we start going back to His Word and we start listening to what He says and we start coming out of the valley and realizing that He loves us and He wants the very best for us. You know, so we need to realize that, you know, we're not spiritual robots that just we are commanded to do exactly what God He gives us a will of our own to do what we do. And then when we realize those things, sometimes, you know, he gets us back where we need to be. I came up with a thing of my own that I looked at, and I want you to think about this. I want you to listen to me for just a minute and think about you. You know, since I have the option of disobeying, now our obedience is evidence of our love and our faith in God. You know, think about that. You just stop and think about that for just a minute. Because I think this is very important. in your life. That's what, you know, what we need to be doing. You know, when we have the, you know, the option, so to speak, of disobeying. God lets us disobey His will sometime. You know, and that's what, when we do that, you know, the obedience, what we do, is evidence of our love and our faith in God. So it's what you and I stop and realize the truth of God's word and the lifestyle that we're living, and be honest with us, not the ways of the world, but with this right here, God's word. How are you living through God's commandments to you and I as His children? And I think the way that if we'll be truthful with ourselves, then we can realize the way that we are living, the obedience that we are living for the Lord, is evidence of how we really are truly doing the work in the ways of God. Think about it. Look at your life, not from the ways of the world. People, the old world is the greatest enemy that we have. You know who's in charge of this world to a certain. This is where old Satan is going back and forth. But when you and I, from the Word of God, look at our lives and compare our lifestyle to the way that He has commanded us to live, instructed us, and guided us to live. And when I look at Jack Sawyer's, people, I have a lot of work just to do. I have a lot of praying. I have a lot of studying to do to get myself back in the perspective of where God can bless me and use me to glorify Him. And that's my job. That is the work of a Christian. That is the command that God has given to you and I, that we share His gospel to a lost and dying world. Are we doing that? You know, I don't know you, and you don't know me in down here. But we know what God's word says. Are we living according to the commandments that He has given us as Christians? We're His children. He wants the very best for us, and we can have that right now. Well, you say, well, I'm waiting till I get to heaven and everything's just going to be glorious and wonderful. Yes, I agree with you. But I want to tell you something. God loves me. God loves me since the day that I yielded my life to Him some 60 years ago. God has loved me ever since that moment, when He said, I accept you into my family as part of the family of God. Brothers and sisters, He loves me, and He wants the very best for me. He wants me to have a great time right now as I walk this pathway of life. And the reason that I don't have that peace and that joy that He wants me to have is because I am disobedient to His word and His ways. That's what brings sadness and sorrow, when we're disobedient to doing what God wants us to do. God allows us to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a little while. What is enjoyable about rebelling against the Lord? I tell you, it fills our desire at that time. It's what I want at that time. And that's what causes me to rebel against God's word and God's way, Why do we disobey His will and His way? Well, we know one reason. Old Satan goes up and down. We find that over in the book of Job. You've all read it, I'm sure. You know, he's just looking for something to keep us from having that peace and that joy and that happiness that God wants us to have as we walk this pathway of life now. That's one of the reasons. He's always there, We forget about, I am so, and I know it, I am so blessed today. I am so thankful today that I have Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You know, we can't, Carol and I can't believe how that we have been blessed. I'm talking about, you know, not only spiritually, but, you know, Lord, in every way. He watches over us. We have, you know, I'm not tell you her age, but I'll not get to eat for a week. But anyway, I'm 82 years old, people, and I don't have any health problems, really. I'm happy, but I know that I could be better, and I know I could be happier if I would just yield my life to Jesus and let Him take control. And why shouldn't we? You know, He's all power. He's all knowing. He knows everything. He knows everything that I need. He has the power to share that with me. And I'm you as well. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have the same blessings we all do as children of our wonderful Lord and Savior. And He just wants to for us to be enjoyable and have a good time. You know, we just need to look at our lives, you know. We forget all about the blessings that we're already enjoying and fail to, you know, to really consider all the consequences of wrong choices. You know, you're sitting here this morning and you know your life. You know, is there something, you know, that, you know, it's not bringing happiness and peace and joy in your life? You know, we have somebody that can take that away. He's right here that He's, you know, He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's always with us. He don't take vacations. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, He's right here trying to instruct us and guide us in His way because it's right. And He knows it's right for us, each one of us, you know. I've been told that when a home burns down completely, it's the next thing to death. Nothing is left but ashes and grief and humility and hurt. You know, I have some good friends that didn't burn down completely, but Bob and Kay Pitts, you probably know them, wonderful Christian people. But they're going through some trying times right now because their house, you know, pretty well burnt here about a month ago, you know. And their health, both of their health is not right now, is not the best. But anyway, you know, they tell me that, you know, there's nothing, it's next thing to death when your house burns completely. Everything's gone. Nothing but ashes, you know. Sin may look appealing, but it leads to destruction. We know that, truthfully. Yeah. You know the old saying, you reap what you sow, more than you sow, and later than you sow. And that's what happens. That's what happens when we go against our wonderful Lord and Savior. When we do things that's wrong. And He does that not because He dislikes us. He don't like what we did. But He loves us. And He loves us, and we call it chastisement. He gets us back on the right road. That, there's no doubt about that. So we can be sure, you know, over in Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, the last part of that verse says, you know, be careful, your sins will find you out. And they will. You know, the Lord knows everything that you and I do. And we just need to look to Him for the guidance, you know. So the story of the prodigal son or the reckless son, however you want to identify him, it gives us a picture of a number of bad things. But people, if you look at that and study it and realize, you know, it also, there's some wonderful good things as well in this story. If we find, you know, it says in here, and when he came to his senses, he changed. That's what you and I need to look at ourselves personally every day. Need to, you know, look at the heart, not the outward appearance. What's on the inside is going to come out. If it's good, you know, you're going to be blessed. You're going to praise the Lord. But if this old heart has not been changed, has not been cleansed through the word and the love of Jesus Christ, one day it will come out. It will happen. You know, when we come to our senses, and that's what this young man did. Finally, he was starving to death. And it wasn't nobody's fault but his. When you and I get into this desperate situation where everything's going wrong, we need to sit down and look at our lives from the Word of God, people. And He will let us know what's happening in our lives. And He will change us. He has that power. He can change us to do what is right. So Jesus told the story here to these Pharisees, and we wonder, why did He tell it? You know? Supposing law-abiding, that's what they were. They were law, in one sense of the word, law-abiding religious leaders. I look at myself. I look at America today, people. What's happening? What's happening in America today? I can't believe. 41 years ago, I came here as your pastor. And I can't preach. Well, I do, but I don't. People don't like it. You know, we can't preach the Word of God that lets people realize their condition. Who would ever thought that 40 years ago or more now that we would have taken prayer out of school? Some of us used to go. I went to Wheatland High School down here. Some of you I see sitting here this morning. And we used to have, on Monday morning, we would all, the whole school, would meet out in the hall, the main hallway there, and we would have a word of prayer. I don't know if they still do that. Probably not, because I don't think the government will let them. But people, why did we take prayer out of school? Why are we killing little innocent babies today that before they actually come out of the womb? You look in God's Word and you're going to find those nations that used to do that back in the Old Testament, they suffered because of that. And I can tell you, America is suffering right now, and it's going to suffer more if we keep this up. This kind of, you know, right now, you know, who ever heard of two men marrying or two women? It's ridiculous. It goes totally against the Word of God. And when we are going against the Word of God, we're in trouble. Until we can repent of it and turn back and let God have His way in our hearts and our lives and in America and the world. You know, people are talking about a revival, world revival. I don't see that happening. What God's Word tells me that things are going to get worse and worse. I don't believe there's going to be a worldwide revival. I think the next thing I'm looking for and listening for is the trumpet. I think Jesus Christ is going to come back. I don't know that. Nobody knows when. But I think look at America today. We're having all kinds of disasters. I think He's trying to tell us something. And we're not listening. And until we start listening to what He tells us in His Word, the way that we are to live, the things that we are to do, people, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. You know, our baptisms are tremendously down today. You know, young people are not coming to the Lord. Why? Because possibly we're not living the life that they can see Jesus Christ in our lives. That's what's happening to America. We need to look and realize. Matter of fact, verse 17 and 18 there of this, what I've just read to you says, "And when he came to himself, he said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." We have to admit. We have to admit to the Lord that we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. You say, well, I am. That's praise the Lord. I say there is. There's people today that's living a Christian life that, and they're enjoying. Even though we're going through some time, they're still having joy and pleasure in living in this world today. But people, the world as a whole is not turning back to God. It's turning to the world. And you be honest with yourself. I don't like to watch the news anymore. I get so upset, you know, and because of what's going on. I don't know if am I allotted a time here that quickly? but anyway, people, I just want us to look at our lives today. We have to admit that we have sinned. We have to ask for forgiveness, and we have to repent of it. And if we will do that, God's word says he will forgive us. He will bring us back to that place where, you know, he wants to for us to have peace. He wants to have joy, you know, in our lives. And we can have that when we look to him and not look to self. You know, does this mean that we will not suffer because of rebellion? No. And as long as we're in this old body of flesh, the Bible said the spirit is going to war against the carnal. But people, we have a Savior that knows exactly what's going on in every one of our lives. And he will help us. And he will take us by the hand and lead us and direct us. If we will just be obedient to him and listen to his word, you know, and do what is right. God doesn't necessarily remove the consequences of poor choices, but we will pay. You know, we will lose some rewards, but we don't lose our salvation. And because of that, he will teach us, and he will help us, and he will guide us. There's a couple of things I want to share before we close here. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 6:26. You know, we have over in 1 John, I love this verse of scripture. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." God's word, if we will confess and turn back to him, you know, we're going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Now, one other point. Does this include everyone? No. The only one that it includes is ones that have given their heart to Jesus Christ. They have put their faith and trust in him. They're not putting their faith and trust in self. Matter of fact, I have had the opportunity of leading a number of people to the Lord with one verse of scripture over in Romans, I think two verses actually, fine. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Isn't that wonderful? Have you done that? See, that's the point right there. Have you done that? That's salvation, people. That's what brings us to the family of God. That's what makes us right in the family of God. That we have confessed in our heart, not just through the mouth. There's a lot of difference between this and this. Have you this morning? I'm not asking you to raise your hand or make a statement, but I want you to look at your life sincerely and truthfully to the word of Jesus Christ. Have you done that? When Jesus Christ comes into your heart, he saves you. We don't save ourselves. He saves us. Matter of fact, I am getting so forgetful that I had forgotten one verse of scripture that I've known for all my life almost. Well, no, I wasn't a Christian until I was 23 years old. But, you know, over in Ephesians chapter chapter 4, verse 30, It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, by which you are sealed until the day of redemption. When Jesus Christ saved my soul, he sealed me. I can't get out. I don't want out, but I can't get out. And if you're here this morning, and if Jesus Christ has saved you through what I just read there in verse 10 and 9, chapter 10, have you confessed with your mouth? And have you from your heart believed in him that he died on that cross for your sins? His sinless blood, people, covers your sins. And if he hadn't have bled and died on that sin, he would just been another dead Jew. But he died on that cross, and his sinless blood, it's the blood. You know, we're even trying to take the word blood out of the Bible. We've already taken out of a number of songs, old gospel songs, and we're trying to take the blood. Blood has to cover our sins. You go back, you remember back in Adam and Eve, you know, God had to kill an animal, and that blood had to be taken because it would cover our sins. Look at your life this morning. Just be honest with God. I'm just another person. But you're here this morning, and there's coming a time. Jesus Christ is coming back, people. He's coming back. And those that have believed in him, that he died on that cross for their sins, and they believe in their heart, and they've asked him to forgive, and he has, and you're going to, you know, I tell people, I don't like to fly, but I've got one more trip I'm going to enjoy. But it's going to be in a minute of a twinkling of an eye, and I'm going to be gone. Praise the Lord. Do you know Jesus this morning? Do you truly know him in your heart? Have you asked him? You know, I pray that you have. You know, if you have, when Brother Kent comes back, you go tell him what's happened to you. And he'll rejoice. I know Brother Kent, and he'll rejoice with you just like anybody would. It's good to have you here this morning. I truly hope and pray that something has been said from God's word that you have caused you to look at your heart sincerely from the word of God, not from the world, but from God's word.